Bryce Young, Thursday night spotlight. Is tonight the night the number one pick puts it together? And Kyler Murray, all systems go for Arizona Sunday, but is that the best play for the Cardinals? And the bigger question, would you rather have Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams? Ooh. Let's go around that horn.
Month ago, easy answer. This month,
not if it comes with Lincoln Riley, I'll tell you that much.
I don't have an assessment. I mean, we can't build cohesion. We don't have all our unit.
LeBron lacking answers after the Lakers' latest lax loss. 128-94 to Houston. No cohesion. 0-5 on the road to start the season. Terrible, historic first quarters for the Lakers. Worst first quarter differential in NBA history through 8 games. Same for three-pointer differential. All-time bad right now. Fewer threes and a lower percentage than every opponent in every game so far. So we start in Los Angeles. Clinton Yates to you. Is this start a big concern for the Lakers? And is LeBron's lack of an answer a big concern for the Lakers?
That's a bigger question, I would say, mainly because LeBron is the type of leader that usually has, if not an answer, at least an excuse on some level for what the team is going through. And in this particular case, that first quarter situation is a major problem. But let's not forget, this team started 2-10 last year as well and was working their way out of that hole from a standing standpoint the entire time. Here's what I think the issue is with the Lakers. Number one, Austin Reeves is simply too much responsibility. He played so much more last season than he did the year before, and with the FIBA tournament as well, with him handling the ball and doing all these things, it just feels like for a young player, too much of the basketball has to go through him, and he is having trouble acclimating to it, especially when a guy like AD is out. Secondarily, I just feel that this team is a team that's not built for the regular season. I understand that last year they went far, but when you've got night-to-night different matchups, this isn't the same squad as a team that can adjust to an opponent over the course of a series, and it shows because of what you've seen so far. They're not a good basketball team right now. They've got to get better. It's just plain that simple in Los Angeles.
Tim Kallis, show your view of the Lakers. And your hearing of LeBron last night with no answers.
Well, I mean, I think he just didn't want to answer because he doesn't. I don't think he does know. But I also think we're a little lost on the Lakers because of how far they went in the playoffs. 10 games to go in the regular season last year. That was a sub 500 team. They pretty much sprinted to get into the play-in situation and went on from there. As Clinton mentioned, they've played a lot of tough teams on the road, so maybe they wouldn't have a good record. Now, Houston, you don't think of fitting into that mix. Although they've won 4 in a row, still you lost by 34 points.
Yeah.
The other point you got to make, this is season 21 for LeBron. This can't go on forever. It's already gone on way longer for him than Jordan or any other superstar.
All right.
As far as
but being. Would you say the problem is LeBron at the moment? I mean, there were going to be a minutes restriction.
No, I'm not saying the problem.
And there's 6 to 7 minutes per game blowing past it already.
We just think LeBron and a bunch of guys can walk on a basketball court and win, and maybe those days are over.
Emily Kaplan, I'll bring you in here. It's been said that this team is better built for the postseason than the regular season. That may be true. But right now, what are you seeing with this team?
Well, I'm seeing a team where injuries clearly are an issue. They're supposed to have a 10-man rotation. It's not ideal when you only have half of those guys available. You know, one of the most predictive stats in the modern NBA is three-point shooting, and the numbers that they've been putting up and the amount of shots that they're taking just isn't going to cut it. But I'm also questioning the coaching here. Like, I look at this. Jeff Green is a player that it's now obligatory to mention his age anytime he touches the ball. So 37-year-old Jeff Green should not be able to drive through that entire team untouched like he did last night. So I have to start questioning their effort, and I feel like Darvin Ham, it's a tough team to walk into, right? You've got LeBron James, generational superstar who also acts as coach and GM, but it feels like Ham just kind of wants to be buddies with the guys. He's trying to excuse their effort, and I think they need more accountability at this point.
So now, Pablo, I turn to you. I've heard about the coaching there from Emily. Clinton said something interesting about maybe Austin Reeves being fast-tracked a little too quickly and the league catching up to him in some ways. What do you see with the Lakers?
I see LeBron James finally getting under 30 minutes in terms of time logged in a game because they got that humiliated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the silver lining. And there ends my propaganda for the Los Angeles Lakers. Actually, it's a blessing in disguise that you're getting embarrassed by the Houston bleeping Rockets. So, what's going on with this team? I think it's stunning to me, Tony, that LeBron doesn't have an excuse. We've seen pleading of the fifth now 2 days in a row. Robert Tala with the Jets, LeBron James with the Lakers. Pleading the fifth is the new sounding of the alarm. And I would say that, well, they have a second chance coming up here, but I would say that they are the worst in second chance points and also the worst in second chance points allowed. This is a team that on a bunch of different ways is not just embarrassing aesthetically, they're historically slow coming out of the gate. And I'm a big, of course, let's fetishize the postseason guy. I get it. I get all of that load management and so forth. But it's just so bad so early that, yeah, alarm bells are what should be here.
Glenn Yates, back to you.
The ceiling is pretty high for this team. We've seen how well they played. Look at them in the playoffs last year. They had the best differential against the team, the Nuggets, that eventually won the title. But they almost have to play perfect basketball in order to get there. And if the wheels fall off before they even get to the end of the regular season, it's going to be another bust for a team that claims to be all about championships.
To Clinton's point, I still don't think we know beyond the Denver Nuggets who is really good in the West. There are a lot of teams, because they have older superstars, we think, oh, Phoenix is going to be good. They'll be right there. Or the Clippers, because they got all the old superstars. But we don't really know who's going to be on Denver. That gives the Lakers a chance.
Road trip goes one more game further, and it is in Phoenix, but winless on the road to start the season. Tough way to start. We'll move on. Thursday Night Football, Panthers, Bears. The spotlight for the number one pick, Bryce Young in primetime. It's been a bumpy road for him and Carolina, 1-7. The freshest memory of a rookie quarterback any of us have is C.J. Stroud's record-setting comeback and near-perfect game last week. We haven't seen anything like that from Young. So, Tim, is there pressure tonight to perform against a team that's thrown out a rookie of their own, undrafted Tyson Bagent?
When you're the number one overall pick, there's pressure every game, and it's whether it's fair to him or not, that's the way it is. I can tell you about Troy Aikman's winless rookie season and a lot of other quarterbacks who survived after not doing much as a rookie. But for me, the game is interesting because the Carolina Panthers are the team that make the Chicago Bears look astute. They look like they're on top of the world. They've got that pick. If they win this game, this is the biggest game for the Bears the rest of the season. If they beat the Lions in an upset, that's nice. But given where the Bears aren't going, it doesn't really matter. But if they can continue to bury that first-round pick, they have Carolina's first-round pick. They already have two starters, two rookie starters, and DJ Moore from that trade, and now they're going to get a high pick. That's going to turn out to be the Bears' Herschel Walker trade and get that franchise going again.
Emily Kaplan?
Isn't it rich that we're talking about a team overreaching for a quarterback, throwing the farm for him because they're so bullish about him, and not putting that quarterback in a position to succeed, and then everyone questioning whether they should have taken a quarterback later in that round, and we're not talking about Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes. Like, I disagree with Tim here. I feel like this game is actually an indictment on the Bears because, sure, DJ Moore has more receiving yards than any Bears receiver had of all of last year, and we're only halfway through the season, and sure, they're set up for the next season, but this is just a microcosm of how they failed themselves to draft and develop quarterbacks. And last spring, they had an opportunity to move on from Justin Fields, who they're clearly unsure about, and get C.J. Stroud themselves. As for Bryce Young, like, look, I just don't think that it's a great situation when you have Adam Thielen as your top receiver. I think there's a lot of things around him, but this is going to look at Dave Tepper as an owner because it was so clear that he was the one that was sold on Bryce Young so early in the process. So do you stick with him, or does he, like, completely blow things up, fire the coach, fire the GM, and what do we have with the Panthers now and their new owner?
Wow, you're already going there. Well, Pablo, I'll turn to you. Whether it's fair or not, the comparisons between Bryce Young and, let's say, C.J. Stroud, they're going to happen. C.J. Stroud's weapons, as Emily just kind of referred to with Bryce Young's, aren't also Pro Bowlers. And the numbers he puts up, it's not what we've seen from Young.
Yeah, Tony, let's just be clear about the contrast here. We're coming off a week in which C.J. Stroud set the rookie record. 470 yards passing, 5 touchdowns for a quarterback. And Bryce Young on the other end threw not just 3 picks, he threw 2 pick sixes to the same guy. And so when it comes to trading up to get one and losing out on another, and then that team, the Panthers, playing a team who holds their draft pick and has the better chance of drafting yet another reset button franchise quarterback, should they beat the sorry state of the Panthers right now, led by Bryce Young, well, all of this feels like insult added to insult. And so, yes, if you're the Bears, huge game, press the reset button. Maybe you get Drake May, maybe you get Caleb Williams. But right now, I'd rather be the Bears than the Panthers.
That's an interesting way to think about it. Clinton Yates, how do you answer that question Pablo just posed?
You know, I think I'd probably rather be the Bears because what I have, I think, is better than what they have. But the pressure here to me is on the front office of the Carolina Panthers. Say what you want about whether or not the kid's any good. You picked him number one. You're the one with the supposed quarterback guru head coach. Why is he not getting better? What's happening here? Again, worst coach position in the league, Tony. If you're going to put that many eggs in that basket, you better make sure your development is where it needs to be. It's not for the Panthers. This is actually one of the most interesting Thursday night games we've had in a while for exactly this reason. A double get-right game doesn't happen often in this league, and this is one for both.
Kalisha, you referenced Troy Aikman before. He had one of – he was 0-11 in his rookie year.
0-11.
The leash he was given was law. Does that even exist now? Do they even make leashes like that in today's NFL?
Well, we judge players a lot more quickly now in a lot of different ways than we did in 1989. That's what Bryce Young has to wrestle with. That's the hard part for
him. Emily, you just heard all the panels say they'd rather be Chicago than Carolina tonight. What do you think of that?
Sure, of course. Like, they've got a ton of cap space for next year, and they have all these draft picks. But you look at Bryce Young, it's this guy that you're super sold on, and you can't even get him to look good halfway through the season.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. It should be said, this year, quarterback in the NFL is a year unlike any other. There have already been 46 starters in this half a season so far. So 14 first-time starters coming in. We'll talk about Kyler Murray's return next.
Around the Horn is presented by Crown Royal. Live generously and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Continuing on QB conundrum, Arizona greenlighting Kyler Murray to return to action Sunday. How they play their quarterback in present and future is intriguing. Murray off the severe injury last year, the ACL tear. Whether he still is the future of this franchise, or maybe the prospect of Caleb Williams if they get the number one pick, and that's the position they're in right now, tracking towards that number one pick after their one-win start. Clinton Yates, what should the Cardinals' priorities be here with Kyler likely to start Sunday?
I think their priorities have to be in figuring out whether or not their initial investment in Kyler was worth it. One of the issues with him wasn't just injury early on. It was whether or not he was mature enough to be a quarterback in the league. You've got to hope that after all this time, maybe the film study's gone up, maybe he's grown up a little bit, and maybe people playing just like him a little bit better. They've spent too much money and too much time on this kid to just say, guess what, you're out of here, just because we've got another pick, one in the bush, rather, you know, in terms of who they might be able to acquire in the draft.
Tim Kalisha.
Let me say this carefully, because Kyler won three straight championships, state championships, right up the road here in Allen, Texas. Kyler Murray playing now for Arizona isn't going to make a bit of difference in them winning football games. He's not going to go out and win with no DeAndre Hopkins, with no defense like they had 2 years ago, with no running game. And if they want to entertain the idea of drafting a quarterback, he has zero trade value right now. He's a highly paid quarterback who who's made one playoff appearance and was terrible and isn't even playing right now. So they need to showcase him at the very least.
So the strategy is the hope that he plays and plays well, but they don't win games? Is that what I'm hearing Tim Kalisha argue for here?
That won't be hard to do. That won't be hard to do.
Woo, Emily Kaplan.
He can play well, and they can lose.
Yeah, I think this is the strategy. I mean, for years we've heard all these negative leaks from the Cardinals around Kyler Murray, his video game habits, his work ethic, and now all of a sudden we're hearing some positive leaks, like how hard he's worked in rehab and how much he's studying. So it feels like their priority is upping his trade value so that all those quarterback needy teams in 2024 will give them something for him.
And Pablo Torre.
Yeah, you build a market for Kyler Murray now. You do not win games right now. That is not part of the plan for the Arizona Cardinals. They just traded Josh Dobbs. Remember the genius Josh Dobbs, the literal like rocket scientist who was learning offenses on the sideline? He was on this team. They got rid of him. They could use a guy like that. Don't want him because they want to lose. They want Drake May. They want Caleb Williams. Don't want Kyler, but maybe someone else.
All right, so there it is. Gut check. Would you rather have Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams? Clinton Yates?
I'll take Kyler Murray right now. I've seen what he can be in the NFL. I don't know what Caleb Williams is going to be in the NFL. Ooh.
Wow, you really took some time to think about it, considering I said it about 8 minutes ago with the tease of the show. Kalisha, how about you?
It doesn't take that long to answer that question. Caleb Williams, you'd rather have it.
Emily Kaplan.
If I'm an owner, I want Kyler Murray because he's not threatening for my job.
Pablo Torre.
Caleb Williams.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Giannis's ejection last night. You're seeing his second technical of the night. Was it because of the flex? Was that even a flex? Came in early second half, but the Bucks held on to win without him. Tim, that call for a technical and then what amounted to an ejection off of that flex, is that lame call? Or should Giannis know and be smarter with one technical already?
You saw the defender look to the ref right away. He knew that could get called. We can debate whether that is the most outrageous thing you've ever seen. But when you do have one technical, you do need to be smarter. And I don't buy this, you can't kick superstars out of games. We already have, and Giannis isn't one of the worst, we have a lot of whining superstars in this league. We don't need to bend the rules so that they can't be technical.
Get off my lawn, says Tim Kalisha. Emily Kaplan, how about you?
Traveling around covering the NHL, I've gotten to know refs, and they feel the best games are the ones where they can leave and no one talks about them or even knows their name. Instead, I know all about Squat Twardowski. I feel like I've Googled him. I know that he also threw out the Thanasis last year, gave him a technical on the bench. It felt like the ref made this about himself, and that is not cool.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, since when did Adam Silver and Tim Kalisha, for that matter, become the mayor from the town in Footloose? Like, why do we care about making sure that Giannis, who is 6'10", or whatever it is, 7 feet tall, can't point out the obvious that another person is smaller than him? That's the capital offense now that we're ruining all these people's nights for? Really? That's what we're doing?
Clint Yates.
Referencing a much better movie, it's not personal, Sonny. It's strictly business. And that's where I think the adjudication of this trash talk is ridiculous. It's part of the business of the NBA for guys to be talking trash to each other. Let them do it. I don't understand why every single look or glance or whatever is considered a problem in this league. That's how people play the game. They're the best ones. Obviously, they're
Tim, you like to pick up the pieces of your life after you've been called the mayor of Footloose here over?
I took that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
I like where that's going.
All right.
I'm fine with that. I'm good with that.
We'll move on. Georgia, Ole Miss, great Saturday. Day. Lane Kiffin says pressure is on Georgia. Quote, they're the number one team in the country. They haven't lost at home in 4 years. We're little Ole Miss. We're double-digit underdogs going there at night. I mean, what's there to lose? End quote. Emily, buy or sell the strategy here. And who do you think has more pressure on them Saturday?
It pains me to say it, but Lane Kiffin is right. The pressure this late in the season is for the undefeated team to make it easy on the college selection committee and not join that one-loss murkiness. Also, Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin were assistants together under Nick Saban. He is the one team, Mississippi is the one team that Kirby Smart hasn't beaten, so I'm sure that's on his mind.
They haven't played it in a few years. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Lane Kiffin has a point. My problem with Lane Kiffin's point is that it sounds like it's better delivered by, like, Lane Kiffin's burner account. Like Lane Kiffin saying, oh, Ole Miss, why would any, little Ole Miss, it's like, really? You're, come on, man. We know who you are. We know you would be mad if you lost this game. I don't believe you, even if you have, yes, a kernel of truth at the center of it.
Lane Yates?
Yeah, we know who Lane Kiffin is. Lane Kiffin is saying, I'm coming to the dance. I don't have a date. I might be leaving with your date, and that's your problem. This is peak Lane Kiffin. This is exactly the attitude he should have with Ole Miss going up against the guy who's trying to get a bunch of votes for homecoming king. I love this out of him.
Tim Kalishaw.
His premise is correct, but the problem is the pressure comes when you get out on the field, and it doesn't matter if it's football or basketball or you can be playing golf. If that other person or other team is way better than you, that's the pressure, because you're afraid of getting embarrassed, and that's what you feel.
But then after it's over and you win, you get to say, nobody do, everybody doubted us. You
nobody
just call yourself little old Miss.
Nobody gave me a chance today.
Kalishaw, everybody. Sorry, nobody gave this a chance. Showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Crown Royal. Live generously and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly.
Showdown treats you reality right here. Kalishaw, Torre. Angels hiring Ron Washington as their manager. Most recently third base coach for Atlanta, but you'll remember, of course, back-to-back World Series running Texas and one very special Kevin Black is on an episode
for Halloween. I'm really glad to be here.
Tim, is Ron Washington the right hire for the Angels and maybe Shohei Ohtani?
Absolutely the right hire. I'm very glad to see him. He became the guy who cost them the World Series instead of the guy who led them to two World Series. That's how he should have been viewed, and he's a great teacher, and he's a great guy with the players.
Pablo?
Glad he has the job. He's an old school guy, looks old school, acts old school, but can work inside of a new school sort of a system. But also, man, Ron Washington, Tony, he's the fifth manager since 2018 the Angels have hired. Probably not going to be there for that long, statistically speaking. Mm.
I never even thought that Ron Washington lost them the World Series, Tim. The fact that you even brought it up was the only reason why I've
I'm
ever heard
he's
that before.
Unfairly man. Viewed as the guy who didn't
It is unfair,
Nelson
and you were
right
just unfair
there.
To bring it up right there. We'll move on. Nevada Wolfpack may need a new name, the Batman. Their arena has a bat problem. For years, like clockwork in November during migratory patterns, they have bats here. Steve Alford is not a fan.
The bat thing is getting pretty embarrassing, and it needs to be fixed. We are a big-time basketball program, and we shouldn't be dealing with bats. We shouldn't have a stoppage of play because we're dealing with diving bats.
Pablo, embarrassing nuisance or home court advantage?
The hero they need, even if they don't deserve him, is Manu Ginobili, Tony. There's an answer here. There's a man who has experience, a set of skills. Give me Manu.
That is Steve Alford's way of saying 30 years ago I was a god in Indiana, basketball kingdom. What am I doing here?
Bats are magnificent mammals. 21% of all the mammals on planet Earth are bats. They don't have a bat problem. They have a people problem. FaceTime.
Pablo. As the host of Pablo Torre, I find out I find stuff out, Tony. My ears are picking up a signal in the break. Not the mayor of the town in Footloose, who was responsible for the dancing band. It was a reverend played by John Lithgow. Apologies to John Lithgow. Your legacy should be respected.
Love John Lithgow.
That's on me.
Love John Lithgow. He's a great villain.
Love John Lithgow.
Dexter.
Loved him as Winston Churchill.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.